tomorrow is the World Press Freedom Day, a time to reflect on the vital role of a press, a free press, and the right to freedom of expression, as outlined in Article 19 of the Universal Human Right Declaration of Human Rights. Now, today we are focusing on two key themes: media sustainability in South Sudan, especially in light of the recent U.S. funding cuts, and the safety of journalists, including how media can build better relationship with the military and the security forces. We are joined by Josephine Achiro, who is joining us this morning on the Miraya Breakfast Show, and you're most welcome to the Miraya.
Thank you very much for having me.
And we also have with us Major General Luru Waikong, the spokesperson of the South Sudan People's Defense Forces. You're most welcome to the Miraya this morning. Yes, and let's start our conversation right away, and maybe I begin with Josephine Achiro. Let's begin by highlighting the significance of the World Press Freedom Day, how important it is, not just for journalists, but for the people of South Sudan.
Thank you very much, Moyo Jacob. I greet all the listeners of Radio Miraya this morning. We are grateful for the opportunity given to us as media fraternity and people of South Sudan as such to be speaking about World Press Freedom Day, and as we join the rest of the world also to commemorate the World Press Freedom Day. The World Press Freedom Day is a very important celebration for us as South Sudanese in particular, because it will remind all of us, not only as journalists, as you say it, but us as South Sudanese. Because when we are talking about press freedom, we are actually talking about freedom of expression. And freedom of expression is not only for journalists. So this day serves as a reminder to all of us as people of South Sudan, and more especially as us as journalists. It gives us a moment to reflect on the things that we have done, the achievement that we have achieved, and, you know, the weaknesses that also came across during our duties, and how do we turn them into a strength as journalists. And as you mentioned earlier, how do we look into strengthening relationship with other stakeholders, including the military. So this day is very important to us. I've been following the discussion, even you, I've been following you this morning, and we liked the conversation, how the citizen of South Sudan are speaking about press freedom and how they also advised us.
So tell us what the biggest challenges facing journalists in South Sudan today.
One of the biggest challenges, and I think this week, and I mean since last week and this week, we have been talking about it. One of the biggest challenges we have now is censorship.
Censorship.
If we looked into the contents we have today, the content is shallow. And the censorship came as a fear. Everyone is trying to censor themselves, not to bring out the really issues, because of fear of intimidation, arrest, or, you know, so many things that happens when you are on the field, and especially when you have contents that bring out the real issues that are happening in our society today. That is one of the biggest challenges. The other thing is also we are losing professional journalists to join other, you know, private sector due to low pay. I mean, the whole country has no money. That's my take. Because if you go around to Juba, just go and sit somewhere, you see people talking alone. Everyone is having their own stories about things that are happening in the market, school, hospitals. But also for us in media houses, there is issues of low pay. We are not paying well. I am a manager. I can begin to speak from my point of view as a manager of my media house that I run. I don't pay my journalists well. Because I don't have money to do that. So journalists, the professional journalists we have, move, of course. We are not bringing in Miraya FM, of course.
Let's talk to Major General Luru Waikong. I mean, what's the military stance on the freedom of the press in South Sudan?
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share this platform with you. I really do not know how are we going to handle it, because we have started with challenges. So how is it going to be done? We have started with challenges. We have not been pointing out the positive developments that we have registered, for which we have come to celebrate.
Yes.
So I don't know how we're going to go about it. But for me, I was told to prepare on three areas.
Yes.
Promotion of freedom of expression. I was told to prepare for that. Then talk about civic space. access to timely and credible information, then safety of journalists, countering hate speech, then misinformation, disinformation, and lastly, which is media sustainability. These were the areas that I was told to focus on, and these are the areas that I came prepared for. So I do not know whether, are we reading from the same script or we are not, because the person that contacted me is not the one now interviewing me.
So I would
really seek your guidance on how to go about it, based on this main focus areas that I've just read out.
We are actually starting, by getting to understand the general stance of the media freedom or freedom of press in South Sudan in line with the military relations.
Well, we have been promoting it. We have been encouraging it. And we have been engaging with you on the need for us to improve the environment. And that for the last 9 years that I had been the spokesperson is that we had improved our public relations with you, the media outlets, such as Mraya, where I am. I've been here so many times, and with iRadio and the rest, is that we have been engaging with you. So that meant it is an indication that we value freedom of expression. We have been using your platform as a means of getting our messages across. So our stance as the army has been receptive. And we have been embracing all media platforms that we have.
All right. Now, tell us, General, how can the army and the media actually build mutual trust while maintaining the national security?
Well, of course, they're saying that inasmuch as you are allowed by law to have freedom of expression, it has limits. So your freedom stops where mine starts. This is what has been we have been talking about. Inasmuch as we encourage it by maybe based on what I was told to prepare for, is that how do we go about promoting freedom of expression? In other words, ways. So for us, we have been tolerating divergent views. So the bottom line is that for freedom of expression to flourish, you must respect what other people express, even if you do not necessarily agree with their perspectives. You also have to tolerate, all right, what the other person says, because we do not expect different people from different backgrounds to have the same perspective. We also encourage diversity. You don't only hear from one stakeholder. We hear from other stakeholders, so that diversity is reflected in a very positive manner, so that it becomes one of the building blocks of our nation. All right. So this is how we look at it. I had an experience about nearly 2 weeks ago, which will of course fall. And the lack of respect for what is expressed by others. During an Easter holiday, I went for a church service, and someone was speaking, and another person, a listener, got irritated and came up to the podium, told the person that what he was saying was not going down well with him, and a commotion was caused in the church. And this was a very high-ranking officer from the organized forces. So we have some individuals that have not yet reached to this level of saying, your opinion is your opinion. I don't necessarily agree with it, but you should be allowed to express it. All right. So we still have some individuals. But for us in the SSPDF, we have been tolerating it. I've been appointed for the last 9 years to be engaging with different media outlets. Even yesterday, for me to come and show up here and represent the army, I had to seek for permission from my boss. So it is an indication of how we are committed to freedom of expression, of how we value all these social platforms for us to engage with you, for our viewpoint to be heard.
All right. Let me get back to Josephine Achiro. You spoke about the low pay for the journalists. I mean, with external funding shrinking now, I mean, how can the local media stay, afloat and also very independent in this case?
I think sometimes back we have been having conversation on media sustainability, and I think we are bringing in the media owners and the media leadership to sit down and look beyond funding. Because those media houses, we have the radio station, we have those community radio stations, belongs to South Sudanese. So in one way, it should be supported by South Sudanese. Let me give you an example. Sometimes back, I was in Dukpadiet. We have established, with support of UNESCO and UNDP, we have established a community radio station in Dukpadiet. I was one of those who was sent on the ground to train the people in Dukpadiet, from the management to the leadership of the station, because the station was a donation to the people of Dukpadiet, so they have to own the station. So the people from Duk has to be like the board of directors. They should know how to run this station. So I was telling them, I mean, on this radio, meaning you have to support the station has to operate. People can be giving contribution. I gave them an example. As people of Dukpadiet, you have sons and daughters abroad. If one person send $1 from their own share, it can sustain this station. That's number one. Number two, we're also looking into other things. For example, the station can have a small local income. For example, an announcement, advertisement from
talk shows
from local NGOs or international NGOs coming around. But still, we also have other costs. For example, like registration, licensing, those things.
Because running the station.
So we are also moving the conversation towards the government to support us. I mean, if a license is supposed to be paid, for example, $1,000 annually, can it be reduced to community radio station, for example, to $200? Because they can't afford the $1,000. As a manager, as I said, we are not seeing any budget line given by any donor to support a radio station, operation of radio station, for you to pay licenses, for example, to pay operation certificate and all those stuff. So if these things are reduced to community radio station, can help, because the little they have, it can help run those stations. But then the media owner should not look into this community radio station as source of income for them. For example, if I own a radio station, if I am the CEO of this community radio station, I should not use the radio station to fill my pocket. Like, for example, a small income come in from the advertisement, the sponsorship, and all that stuff. It's really must go for the operation of this community radio station. That will help us. The other thing is we need to have other style of doing things. For example, I need to give an example. By in Uganda, a radio station will have a company to do other things, sell newspaper, for example, buy reams of paper. For example, I gave an example of Dukpadiet. If they open a shop to sell for them other things that are not in Dukpadiet, and then the incomes come to the station, can also help. For example, they can also do a restaurant,
something that can help
them have a local income.
All right, let me get back to General. You spoke about you have been actually good at providing information, but you know, for all General, you have been hesitant sometimes to provide information, especially when you say you want to contact your bosses first before giving information. Public want to hear information at the right time, and that has been actually creating gaps in terms of getting information from this SPDF particularly. So tell us how the military or the government institutions support a media environment that is both free and sustainable.
Thank you. Once again, I prepared for it and access to timely and credible information. I've been dealing with you, of course, for the last 9 years. Some of the challenges I have had with you is that the minute you say I would like to be given information on 1, 2, 3, it's like you want it instantly. It is like an instantaneous thing. I'm not being hesitant. But of course, I provide information on need-to-know basis. And all of us, we are covering the entire country. And each other's area of responsibility, you get information that does not necessarily need to be known by the spokesperson. All right. So once you say 1, 2, 3 is needed, I have to get in touch with the concerned base commander. 1, 2, 3, 4. Then maybe he does not have the information at hand. Also, in turn, get in touch with other. And you know, our country is very vast. The infrastructure is not in place. So the time I take to communicate your request down the chain of command and back, yeah, and within 5 minutes, it is like someone is just calling. Give me 30 minutes, just someone is calling. So this has been my the biggest part. Secondly, we are dealing with sensitive information. And we have in any government, including these enemies that we have been working for, not every information is supposed to be made available. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that these have been, but I've been doing my best. In some situations or in most situations, when I have information and we deem it is necessary to be shared with members of the public, you'll find me setting it to WhatsApp groups, to South Sudan journalists WhatsApp group, and all this print media. And you'll find all of you getting information without me, without you getting in touch with me. So what is needed is that when you are in need, get in touch with me and give me sufficient time to go down, chain the command down and up, and vice versa. Secondly, sometimes I'm told come for a specific information, only to find that there is a long list of questions that I'm expected to answer. So you should also be transparent in your dealings. You tell me in advance, like the way I'd come prepared. All right, I think I have about 3 pages. I was working yesterday during International Labor Day. That was supposed to be my day for us. But because you gave me this assignment, I was working yesterday. I got out late. All right. So you should be transparent. What do you expect of me?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me in advance or give me at least an hour or two. Don't be on your toes.
All right, General. We should be winding up this conversation now. I mean, tell us, are there measures that are in place to protect journalists, especially in conflict areas?
Let me scroll down a little bit. That's the safety of journalists. During my preparation, I said that protection of journalists is a shared responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It is your primary responsibility to scan the environment and sense for yourself the dangers.
Mm-hmm.
It is a shared responsibility in the sense that we know what is happening in the whole country. So if, for example, you would like to go to Toy North, then and you told me in advance that you would like to go to that area, it is my responsibility to give you the real situation, secure situation in that area. For instance, maybe in the last 2 days there were intercommunal clashes. So I would tell you it is not conducive for you to go there. That one is my responsibility to give you correct picture of what is happening on the ground. So that once you have the right information, then you will know what to do with it. If you go against our will, then it becomes your primary responsibility.
All right. Thank you so much. Yes.
Before we could wind up, sorry, Madam Ashiro was talking about having shallow contents because of censorship. In the past, we have been blaming the national security. And in the past, the national security has been coming on board with the proper engagement with the spokesperson. But I would like to give us more information on how shallow it has been. Because, for example, the fallout here with the SPLIO, the developments. Michael McQuay came out and told you that IO is divided into 4 factions. Now, if you were given that detailed information, would you still say it is a shallow? With it is reflected in the local days. Do you still say it is shallow?
Yes, justify that. Yes.
All right. Let's wind up there. I believe there will be panel discussions on Tuesday. We'll be able to understand much more. Yeah, all right. In less than one minute, we wind up because we have news headlines.
Less than 1 minute. General, thank you very much. We have other things. Information to the public is not all about press statement and someone who has the information to come out. We have our own angle that we want to come, for example. Let's talk about corruption. Let's talk about other sensitive issues that are supposed to be investigating journalism in this country is a problem. That's one thing that you should know, because you said it earlier on. Our limits end when your role begins, right? You said it earlier on. And that is sometimes the problem. Last Friday, I was harassed. I don't want to talk about it because I'm a manager. I'm the chairperson for the Association for Media Development. If I complain, to whom am I complaining to? I was harassed by the security in this country last Friday.
All right. Let's wind up there. Otherwise, thank you, Josephine Achiro. Thank you, Major General Lurua Ekong, for joining us this morning on the Mirai Breakfast Show. And I will hear more on Tuesday during the celebration of the event.